to chapter 3. This is a message I actually preached back in 2021, I believe it was. But Genesis chapter 3, starting there in verse number 1. A sermon entitled, To Stay in the Garden. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Of course, as we know, as a result of those actions, sin entered into the world, and soon they would be kicked out of the garden. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. I ask for your help tonight, Lord. Please help me to communicate such an important truth and what we need to be on guard with in our own life, with the true attacks, the spiritual attacks that come to us. Lord, so use this as preventative. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't have some defenses up, Lord, I certainly pray that they would do just that. Lord, that you would keep your hand of protection upon our church. Lord, help us to use your word in a beneficial way that will help us to be in a position where we can truly glorify you with our lives. Lord, so please bless now. I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. We know throughout the Bible different ways in which the devil is described. I'm not going to go through those here this evening in this message. But one way I want you to think of him throughout this, where he's described in 1 Peter chapter 5, that is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Make no mistake, there's a genuine spiritual warfare that does take place that is very organized, very orchestrated, and the devil's been at this with all of his kingdom realm now for 6,000 years. He knows how to focus attacks on our lives. Now, I don't believe any one of us in here by any means is being attacked personally by Satan himself, but nonetheless, he has multitudes of those fallen angels, now demons, at his disposal. And, again, he wants to attack your life. His goal, even after you're saved, is to remove you from any way, getting any close to the will of God for your life. It is in the will of God that you will bring the most glory to God in how you live your life. So the attacks of Satan will be centered on getting you out of the will of God. He uses different things we see throughout the Bible. Distractions, I have sermons just on that. He seeks to blind you, to distort the will of God for your life. And he wants to take you out of God's will. Because the truth is, the greatest thing you can do for your life is simply get in the will of God and do it. That's the greatest thing you'll ever do with your life. And the fact is, we know from Scripture, the sovereign God who is in complete control has a will for your life. He knows everything about you. He knew everything about you before you ever existed. He knew where you would be born. He knew who your parents were, and every event that would come up in your life. And yet, for you, he designed a will specific. That the devil is a master at getting us out of it. Think of our culture today, this victimhood mentality that is in place within our culture of getting people to live in failures and just stay there as if it cannot be changed or they cannot change. Anything to try and distract people from the will of God. And we all know, we all probably can think of people in our life who have left the will of God. Friends and family that one point in time seemed to understand that life was about God, but something came in, a distraction, whatever it might have been, and took them from the will of God. So I want you to see from us pulling from Genesis chapter 3 some lessons here on what Satan does in trying to remove us from the will of God. The methods he used in the garden are still incredibly effective today. It's amazing as how effective they are in that we have the knowledge of this. We have the knowledge, and yet it's still so effective. Make no mistake, the devil doesn't mind if you do good things with your life. He doesn't. He doesn't mind if you do good things just as long as you're not in God's will. All right? He doesn't necessarily have to make you a drug addict and a drunk, although he would enjoy doing that, a complete destruction of your life. Anything is a destruction of life that is apart from the purpose in which God created it. Genesis chapter 3, we have recorded for us a real story. It's not symbolic. It is events that actually took place in this earth once God had created Adam and Eve. And it records for us how sin entered into the world. What I want you to think tonight as we go over this is God had placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He gave them the responsibility with it. He gave them what they would need. And understand, I want you to see your life tonight. God, well, more specific, let me change that. I want you to see God's will for your life tonight, if you will, as the Garden of Eden for your life. All right? So whatever it is that God has for you, whatever His will is for your life, I want you to see that as the Garden of Eden. All right? And just like with Adam and Eve, when Satan came through with his attack, when Satan came through to try and plunge man into sin, to get them out of the garden, to change God's plan for their life, He has the same agenda for your life to get you out of the garden. Thus, the name of the message tonight, stay in the garden. Protect your life, protect your family, stay in the garden. As a church, we can take it to a corporate level. Us as a local church here in Anchorage, Alaska, we have a responsibility to stay in the will of God, to stay in the garden. The same temptations and the same methods of that Satan used in the garden, he'll use on us on an individual level, at our family level, and even at the local church level. So let's take a look at his tactics that were used here, and please try and use these as a warning, as preparation for your own life, so you can actually stay in the garden. Now, the first thing I want you to notice, it deals with his subtlety in the garden. And that is this. Eve was not looking for Satan. She wasn't. She did not set out to be rebellious. She did not get up that morning think, I'm going to sin. I'm going to do what I want to do. She was not. But make no mistake about it. Satan was looking for Eve. He had a plan in place. He had fallen. His vengeance. He has a glimpse of an idea, perhaps what God is trying to do with this creation that has just happened. Let's keep in mind, we don't have all the time frame, but I don't believe Satan had been created all that long. We know from creation, all the hosts of heaven were created at the same time of creation. The Bible doesn't give us the time frame, but I don't believe it was all that long. But we know that Satan, Lucifer, when he was created, this is an upper level type of being that he created. He had responsibility, he had powers, things like that. And of course, as we know, pride came in. He wanted to be as God, and he fell. And right now, out of anger, he's probably not fully understanding, and I have no doubt he's not, of all of God's intent, of how God even plans on using the evil of Satan to his end when it's all said and done, when there's a new heaven and new earth like we talked about this morning. But Satan right now has a plan. He wants to thwart God's plan. He sinned, and he believes he can get this creation that he was probably by this time jealous of, angry about, because this mankind was made in the image of God. Satan was not. So he wants destruction. So I have no doubt he had been watching the events in the garden for some time, watching movements and how they responded and how they acted. He very well understood the prohibition that God put in place. He knew what he was doing. Point being, listen, Eve was not looking for Satan, but Satan was looking for Eve. You might not be looking for the rebellion. You might not be looking for Satan in your life. But make no mistake, he is looking to set you up, to put something in place to get you out of the garden. So within our families, husbands, look out for it. Dads, look out for it. Get your head out of the sand. Look out for the ways the devil's going to be coming into your family to try and destroy that garden. Wives, same thing. Moms, same thing. If you're saved, you look out for it. I mean, we know from Colossians chapter 2, Satan desires to take us captive, to rob us. What he wants to rob from you, he doesn't want to break in your house and take any of your possessions. He could care less about that, obviously. He wants to rob you of the will of God. To rob you for what God has in store for your life. To get you to follow the philosophy of men. To get you to change how you think. To get you to change how you look at the world. And that also comes from Colossians chapter 2. Make no mistake, Satan wants a direct effect on your worldview. We need to understand how important that actually is and think things through. That we can actually come to a biblical-based view of this world and why we are here. It will help you so much in all the mess of this world and the thoughts and the ideologies and the philosophies coming at us. And today you see Christians not knowing which way to go on issues. Again, as I've mentioned, 1 Peter 5:8. The devil is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Eve was not looking for Satan, but Satan was looking for Eve. Knowing that is the case, how are you preparing for that? I don't think we've had any fatalities, but I've noticed, at least to me it seems, that this summer we've had more than average brown bear attacks. There was just another one in Anchorage a few days ago. A woman hiking in, was it Bear Valley, wherever it was, I don't know. I think she survived it, but got grabbed by a sow and dragged. So let me put it this way. Let's say that you're on a hiking trail in Anchorage, all right? You're on a hiking trail with Anchorage. You're following Jason Oler, so you know you're in trouble already, all right? But nonetheless, as you're hiking down the trail, other hikers come by, and they tell you, listen, there's a brown bear, a sow with cubs at a feeding of a moose just down the road there. Would that change how you walk on that trail from that point forward? Would it? Of course it would, unless you're dumber than a box of rocks. You're going to have your hand on your gun. You're going to have your hand on your bear spray. You're going to start yelling, hey, bear, hey. You're going to do all that crazy stuff. Because you know, you've been warned, there's a bear here. The bear's going to be in protective mode. The bear has cubs. The bear has a food source. The bear's going to be aggressive. You're going to be very, very circumspect in your walk. You will not be careless. I am telling you, when you go home, there's an active bear there, seeking whom he may devour. Use caution. Put protections in place. There are different times in my life you can look back for where Satan will set up different chessboards in your life to try and set you up to remove you from the will of God. Listen to me, just like Ephesians 6 directs, he will play you like a chessboard. He will try and get it, not just for the little wins. I mean, he has a bigger strategy in mind. Those little things, I assure you, that you're failing at right now are all part of a much bigger strategy to try and get you into a checkmate. That's all he's doing. He's trying to play the board to get you to look at the Christian life wrong, the Bible wrong, your spirituality, to try and change how you're thinking, to try and begin setting you up for failure here, to set up for a major issue that comes up in your life and you are out of the garden. So the first tactic was Eve was not looking for Satan. Satan was looking for Eve. The next thing that I learned here is the first words out of Satan's mouth. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The devil's a master at this, Christian, and we're speaking to Christians, not the lost world. These are those in the garden. It's going to be different for those who are lost. Okay? Right now, what he's doing with Eve is how I term it. He's playing Bible trivia with her. All right? He's going to try and use portion of God's words to deceive, to cause a manner of deception. Yea, hath God said. I'm not getting into the doubt area. That's going to be coming. It's another tactic of it. That's not the angle I'm going at this. I mean, did not Satan himself try this with the Lord Jesus Christ? He's not going to get the Lord Jesus Christ to doubt the word. What he was trying to do was misuse the words God spoke in a manner that could lead to a fall. If he knows that we're Christians, and if he knows that we cherish God's word that he's given to us, that he knows that we believe it's inspired and preserved, the attack is going to come in trying to convince you of something it doesn't actually say, but to get you to believe it does. So he wants to play Bible trivia to deceive you. Does God really, really say that you need to dress modestly, ladies? I mean, does it? And who is to determine what modesty is anyhow? He's playing Bible trivia with your mind. You know that's not popular that day. That's back for that Victorian age. That one always makes me laugh. When I had a pastor, when we were discussing and debating this issue, in a good sense, I was trying to change his mind on it. He kept on referring to the Victorian age. Does God really say, I mean, after all, did not Jesus turn the water into wine? Is there really something wrong with alcohol? Yep, there is. And notice how he uses, like, just these few simple issues to trip up multitudes. They don't even recognize it. Just to cause them to go down a horrible direction for their life. He is trying to sort of, without you even realizing it, changing the authority of the Word of God. And almost as if you are the one who gets to determine the meaning instead of allowing the word to control that itself. You can find yourself in great trouble if you don't start understanding why you believe what you believe. If you don't understand the true biblical basis of authority behind it. So when it comes to God's word, please do this for me. Think of when he went to Eve. He was looking for Eve. So the first thing he had to do was do a measure of deception when it came to the words that God spoke. He had to attack that. In Eve's mind, that's ultimate authority right now. All right? So if he's going to actually get here to go against the one prohibition that was given, he has to attack that. The same is true for your life, Christian. So when it comes to God's word, please, please don't play around with it. For instance, let's say you memorize, and I think that's good, set up a program to memorize scripture. But the memorizing of it, where does the Bible say we're to hide God's word? In our heart. I want you to think about that. In other words, don't play with it. It's not memorizing it to memorize it. You understand that? You're to hide God's word in your heart. That means it's part of your life. That means it's you looking to use God's word, making it practical in your life. Thirdly, okay, Eve was not looking for Satan. Number one, Satan was looking for Eve. Number two, the devil will use Bible trivia to try and deceive you, to begin to change how you view God's word. Thirdly, here's where Eve messed up when it came to Satan right now. I'm going to go to switch to her now and her response. She had no business discussing temptation with Satan. None. She should not have had a discussion with the serpent at all. None. Nothing. It shouldn't have happened. She should have turned and walked away. I don't care how, I mean, we don't know everything of how the garden looked before the fall. All right? It no doubt would have been an incredible place. So I don't quite understand everything that had with it. But even if it was incredibly unique to all of a sudden have this serpent creature, which would have looked different, obviously, with a snake, because the fall hasn't happened yet, talking to her, even the uniqueness of it, and just say, wow, that's freaky, but I'm out of here. Listen, don't stop to debate in your own mind or with anyone else temptation. Get out of there. Get out of there, get out of there, get out of there. Eve should have. Let's go back to Joseph and Potiphar's wife. You know what Joseph really should have did if he was spiritual? He should have said to Potiphar's wife, you know what? Let's just stop right now and pray. Let's just pray about this. Joseph did the right thing. He took off. Joseph took off because he knew he was a man. He knew I'm not putting myself in this. I'm out of here. He ran. Understand this, Christian. Whatever that fruit is that God's putting before you, it's going to remove you from the garden if you're not careful. Stay away from it. Fourthly, let's go back to Satan. Look at verse 4. The serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. The devil loves this one in our life. The devil loves to put doubt in about God's certain judgment. He loves to put doubt in about whether it's chastisement, whether it's judgment, whatever form it's going to take. He told Eve, you shall not die. He's trying to lessen the consequences of what's coming. You don't have to look at it in that way, Eve. You shall not die. Again, now directly, by the way, challenging the Word of God. You see, you think you can get away with it, but you can't. As the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. You think you're going to be able to stay in your garden, but that's not true. Understand, the beginning of wisdom is what?
Fear of the Lord.
That's right. The fear of the Lord. Because it keeps you on track. The whole time, though, the devil's going to be coming opposite the fear of the Lord, just like he told Eve, ye shall not die. It's all right. You can play with this. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's what's going to keep you in the garden. Verse 5. Notice where he goes. Once he puts doubt in about the judgment of God, notice now where he's trying to affect, she's trying to affect how she sees everything about life in the garden. Verse 5. For God doth know that on the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Boy, is the devil good at this one, Christian. This is happening to Eve, and this is before the earth was cursed with sin. All right? Keep that in mind. We now live in a sin-cursed earth. What the devil was doing there, and he'll do it to you all the time, especially when you're going through difficulties, he is getting Eve to question the very goodness of God. God doth know. See, really, Eve, what's going on here is God good. He could be better. He's not being good to you as he should. He's holding back. He wants Eve to question the goodness of God. When the devil gets you to doubt God's goodness, I am telling you, sin is at the door. It's right there. When you begin to question how good God is and the greatness of God, and the devil's a master at, you have some measure of tragedy that comes into your life, difficulty that comes into your life, I am telling you, the temptation will fly immediately to question God's goodness. God is good. It's true in all of our lives. Doesn't matter what we have faced, God is good. He is. We have consequences of sin right now that take place. I got news for you. Even with that, God is good. And if the devil can get you this, another twist he can take with it. Let's say he's not getting to bitterness in your heart with it. He can take another avenue with this one if you question God's goodness. Think about this. He didn't have to go the way of anger and bitterness. If that's not working, he doesn't quit. He'll take it to self-pity. God's against me. Did that not happen with Naomi? He'll try and also use this to a self-pity. And you forget of all the goodness that's actually still present in your life because of God. Sometimes Christians, I think we just lose so often the wonders of our salvation and all that it entails. And self-pity, know what will happen with that one? That one can be just maybe not just as dangerous as bitterness. I'd say the bitterness road is more dangerous. It can open up to a lot of other sins. And others in your family, I think, would suffer greater in that avenue. But this one still comes with a boatload of problems right here. Because if you're not careful, the self-pity, know the devil's going to get your mindset. He's going to get you believing you deserve it. He's going to change, and I don't mean from the justice standpoint that we all do deserve. I don't mean it like that. I mean putting you this at that point here. In other words, we're dealing with a baseball theme for VBS. What he's done is got you completely out of the game and on the bench. You're just going to ride the bench is all you're going to do now. That's it. Because you don't think you could get in the game. And when you doubt God's goodness, when it comes to the Christian life, following the Lord, I assure you, just by doubting God's goodness and questioning that, you will not be willing to sacrifice for the Lord when it comes to it. There are those, let me try and explain that, what I mean by that. Just within our normal human relationships and how we respond to each other. There are those that all of us have in our lives. We have those who go the extra mile for us, that they always seem to be there. Something's going on. They're there. They're helping. They're there. And it's just constant. And you think of that person in your life right now, that they're always there for. They're always trying to help. They're always trying to encourage. You got a need. They want to be there to help meet it. They're just always, always trying to help you. All right? They're good to you. Now, let's say something happens where that person need some help. Would you not be more than willing to respond? You would. You would think of all the times they've been there for you. I'm just thinking at normal human level. I'm not dealing up with divine to us yet. I'm going to tie that in. But those who have been there for you time and time again, if you're in a position to try and help or encourage them, you're going to do just that. Unless you're reprobate, backslidden, so self-centered. Apart from that, you're going to seek to help. This is where it comes to when you're living daily under the idea of God's continual goodness and mercy and grace in your life, and it doesn't leave you. You see His goodness every single day, that He's not giving you justice. He's not giving you justice. He's just giving you goodness and giving you goodness. And all of a sudden in the Christian life, He's bringing you to a place where it's going to involve self-denial, where it's going to involve sacrifice. I am telling you, when you have recognized and lived with the conscious thought of God's goodness in your life, you're going to be just like David and said, I will not offer that unto the Lord my God of that which has cost me nothing. I want to pay something because He's been so good to you. Now, Satan's technique when it came to pass is in verse 6. He says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, before you get to verse 6, he's already laid this foundation. He's listened to every single response she's given to see if she's ready for verse 6. If she's not, he's not going there yet. He's not going to waste his time on this. He's going to wait for the moment. But through her responses, you know, when he saw how he got her to doubt God's judgment, doubting God's goodness, he's like, okay, she's there. And then he comes with the avenue, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He went right to it. All guns blazing right now. He didn't just use one of the three major attacks. He used all three. The devil will attack you in those ways. Once he sets you up, once he's gotten you weakened spiritually, questioning God on his goodness, I am telling you, when the attack hits, it's going to come via these avenues: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. And sometimes it will be something that uses all three of them, like with Eve. But the majority of the time, because we're already in such sin-filled state, the sin nature is already in us, it's usually just one of these three that works well enough on us when we're in a weakened state. And we cave. So we have to protect ourselves prior to that, reminding ourselves of God's goodness, reminding ourselves that we need to live in the fear of the Lord, reminding ourselves, putting those protections up. Satan's target is to remove you from the will of God. He wants you out of the garden. He wants your life to be that of vanity, wasted. Again, as I've already mentioned, that doesn't mean he's going to try and get you to be a drug addict or a drunk. He could. That's one avenue to do it. Very successful at it right now. You start playing with things you don't need to play with, you'd be amazed how fast you can have those addictions and your life is ruined. There's not one meth addict that's set out in life to be a meth addict. Not one. He can get you to waste your life on anything that is apart from God. You could be the most successful person, appear to have it all together, yet the devil knows, nope, that person's good, they're blinded, I got them. They think life's about them, they think life's about this world, the here and now, it's wasted. That too is a wasted life. You see, he doesn't want you to see that God is the pearl of great price. Christian, every single one of us in here, God has a will for your life. Wherever you're at right now, whatever that is right now, God has a will for your life. Stay in it. Stay in it. But know this, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be careful. With heads bowed and